It's the morning show. I'm Shereen Seewert. Canadian utility company Enbridge has been mired in litigation for years surrounding its Line 5 pipeline. In the most recent development, a federal judge ruled in favor of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, ordering the company to shift Line 5 off of tribal lands. You can join in this discussion at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mike Wiggins Jr. is chairman of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. Mike, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Yeah, thank you. I'm honored to be here.
A major federal ruling has passed since you joined the show earlier this month. U.S. District Judge William Conley ordered Enbridge to remove its Line 5 pipeline from Bad River Reservation land. So now Enbridge has 3 years to reroute the line. What's really at the heart of this issue for you?
Well, water protection of our water resources, what's at stake and at issue for us in Bad River is the potential toxifying of downstream surface waters. In this particular instance, it's at the meander, which is in the Bad River itself. And then ultimately the threat to our tribal nation's drinking water realm, our groundwater aquifers. And then even in your summary statement, to turn the question over, you talked about the reroute. There's some fantasy or some magical thinking about the notion that Enbridge's reroute is a done deal or that it's just going to happen. They are in an incredibly sensitive environmental area that's tied directly to our groundwater aquifers in Bad River, and we're going to have an issue with that reroute.
Did you expect this ruling from Judge Conley?
To a certain extent, we were definitely pleased to see him uphold the trespass, essentially that Enbridge doesn't have a legal right to operate, and that was a stressful proposition going into court. I mean, Enbridge's position at one time was that they have eminent domain rights and they could just take our land and water. Or whatever they need in order to perpetuate their oil flow. And so the court sounded out the truth for us and that our sovereign authority is intact and Enbridge's ability to be there legally is their time is up.
Mike, your attorney, Eric Arnold, released a statement that said that the court's three-year timeline for Enbridge to vacate the lands, quote, leaves the Bad River vulnerable to catastrophe, end quote. Do you think 3 years is too long to wait if this actually goes forward?
Well, absolutely. In this past spring, we saw the river was about 21 feet away from the pipe. And during the spring melt, in a span of less than a week, we lost over half that earth between the river and the pipe at that particular spot. So right now the river is only about 10 feet away from the pipe and it's working at that bank every day. So every flood scenario, every thunderstorm and big storm coming in is a cause for stress because that area is about to give way. And so the notion that Enbridge has 3 years or that we have any time at all is really, again, a bit of conjecture that isn't rooted in reality. What's going to happen is that the meander is going to fail. It's going to fail during a high water flood event, thunderstorm, or maybe some type of melt off due to snow. But ultimately, right now, as far as timelines go, the Bad River itself, the Bad River proper, is in charge of all the schedules and all the timelines because it's going to pound open the meander and ultimately most likely rupture the pipe.
We're talking about Enbridge Line 5 with Mike Wiggins, chairman of the Bad River Band. We also have the executive director of Midwest Environmental Advocates Nonprofit Law Center, Tony Wilkin-Gibbert, with us today. Tony, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Shereen. Thank you for having me.
Tony, Judge Conley's order is pretty clear that Enbridge must implement its December 2022 monitoring and shutdown plan in full. So can you explain the key points of Enbridge's 2022 proposal for us?
Sure. Well, as Chairman Wiggins was just talking about, there is a stretch of the pipeline that is extremely close to the particular meander of the Bad River. And as Chairman Wiggins said, at this point, the pipeline is buried just 10 feet from where the river is eroding the riverbank. And that amount of space has actually decreased significantly in just this spring. Earlier in the year, it was at 26 feet. So there's a significant risk at the next flooding event that erosion could occur even more. And it's possible, I think even Enbridge concedes that a significant storm or flooding event could expose the pipeline, just a single event. And if the pipeline is exposed and then the river continues to erode underneath the pipeline could become unsupported, creating a very, very significant risk that it could rupture, resulting in a catastrophic spill. So as part of the band's lawsuit, the judge ordered Enbridge to put in place a plan to shut down the pipeline if and when further erosion occurs, and set specific kind of markers for if there are flood events of a certain magnitude, certain steps have to be taken. But there's real concern, and I think the chairman is correct here, that the Bad River is in charge, because in these kinds of weather events, you know, is it practical that Enbridge would be able to shut down the line in time? It would require a massive operation, getting equipment in place, getting workers situated. They would have to secure gas to actually purge the pipeline. And so, the judge did require Enbridge to do more than it was proposing to prevent that kind of catastrophic spill, but there are still significant concerns that that would be enough if and when the pipeline becomes exposed.
Mike, are you concerned about environmental risks to tribal lands during the relocation process if Line 5 does move?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the draft environmental impact statement that we saw, in a public comment session with the DNR had Enbridge blasting their way through 139 streams, creeks, river, wetland settings to try to seat their oil pipe in the ground and in bedrock. When you look at a USGS groundwater mapping, their reroute is in an incredibly sensitive area of the watershed where surface waters and groundwaters interact. Ultimately, some of those waters return back down into the drinking water aquifers of the Bad River Tribal Nation. And so the reroute, as it's proposed, is problematic. And it's more than problematic. It's actually a bit of a bit of a genocidal act, in the sense that Enbridge has no problem with our tribal people drinking oil-contaminated drinking water. And so so we're going to, there's a lot of environmental issues that are at stake there. The blasting itself at 139 spots has a cumulative impact at a place that I always refer to as the singularity. All points, high hills roll down into Bad River and come together right by U.S. Highway 2 and Bad River at a place called the White River and Bad River Confluence. And so everything comes together from the upper watershed. So there's a cumulative impact that we're going to endure right in the heart of Bad River from all of the activities on a panoramic kind of 360 from Enbridge blasting and oil toxicity and coal tar placement and all that other stuff. So, we're definitely concerned about environmental impacts.
You're hearing Mike Wiggins, chairman of the Bad River Band, and Tony Wilkin-Gibbert, director of Midwest Environmental Advocates. I will point out that Tony and MEA do not represent the Bad River Band, but we are happy to have both guests with us today. You can call in to 800-642-1234. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Shereen Seward. What's next for Wisconsin and Line 5 after a federal judge's decision earlier this month? What do you want to see happen? Call 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mike Wiggins Jr., chairman of the Bad River Band, and Tony Wilkin Gibbert, director of Midwest Environmental Advocates, stay with us. Tony, a few moments ago, we heard Mike talk about his concerns about the proposed reroute. What are some of your concerns about the environmental risks involved in this?
Yeah, thank you. We share all of those concerns. As Chairman Wiggins said, this is an area of immense ecological complexity. It's a pristine environment. And the notion that Enbridge could safely cross over 200 water bodies using, construction techniques such as blasting and horizontal directional drilling without impairing water quality. Is something that we are very, very concerned about. We saw in Line 3 construction in Minnesota that these kinds of construction techniques did contaminate water bodies there, and that is still a concern. So we are working to ensure that DNR's review of all of Enbridge's plans for this construction are scrutinized rigorously and that they meet the highest standards that are required. There's the idea that that this reroute can happen within the 3 years that the judge allowed the line to continue to operate on the reservation. But for almost that amount of time, Enbridge has submitted inadequate and insufficient information as part of the permitting process for this reroute. In fact, back in 2020, when it submitted information, it didn't include field surveys for close to a third of the water crossings that are involved here. And in many instances, its pictures, its field surveys didn't even match the proposed reroute. So it has been really dragging its heels and not providing adequate information that could allow the state to even assess the environmental impact and legally issue permits. So I think it's a real question whether it could complete that permitting process, let alone construction, within the amount of time that is left.
Mike, Greg from Reedsburg called. Greg wants to know what the Bad River empties into and what the consequences of a spill might be for that body. Is it Lake Superior?
Yeah, that would be Lake Superior, about 8-9 miles as the crow flies from the Enbridge pipe and the Bad River failure site. Downstream, about 8-9 miles, is the Bad River empties into Lake Superior. But a side note is that there's an unbelievable wetlands estuary, wild rice zone called the Cacogans Bad River Wetlands that have been designated ultimately as a Ramsar site, wetlands of worldwide importance. You have 47%, but over 40% of the wetlands of Lake Superior are sitting there power packed into that particular place. And so the Bad River downstream of the Enbridge pipe flows through those powerful wetlands and estuaries and then out into Lake Superior. Once you get into the big lake, you're sitting there staring right at the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore, ultimately the powerhouse of the sportsmen and commercial fishing realms of Big Lake Fish.
How old is Line 5? Tony, this is not a new line.
Absolutely not. The line was built in 1953. It is on the reservation of the Bad River Band because the U.S. government provided easements to Enbridge back in 1953. It was built with a 50-year lifespan in mind, we are now on year 70. And 10 of those 70 years, the pipeline has been placed on the Bad River Band's reservation illegally because the easements have been expired for over a decade now. So there's a real concern with leaks Even if the reroute were somehow completed and there was new pipeline around that 40-mile stretch, the rest of the pipeline is aging. The pipeline has leaked over 1 million gallons of oil over the course of its time operating in that area. So this is an aging pipeline, and Enbridge is really trying to just squeeze all of the life and the profits that it can out of a piece of aging, dirty fossil fuel infrastructure.
We're talking about the court-ordered reroute of Line 5 with Mike Wiggins, chairman of the Bad River Band, and Tony Wilkin-Gibbert, director of Midwest Environmental Advocates. Mike, do you think this federal ruling is strong enough to keep corporations like Enbridge from trespassing again?
Well, no, the court ruling itself. I mean, we had the trespassing upheld again, which makes Enbridge's presence on our reservation and in our lands and water illegal. But the remedy and the penalty as far as damages or for the trespass and all of that was, I believe, out of the court case was $5.1 million. $5.1 million for trespassing all that time at a scale to what Enbridge is worth as a international multi-billion-dollar conglomerate. $5.1 million is hardly a deterrent or even getting at the notion of restitution. Typically, you know, those types of penalties have make a perpetrator pause and think about their actions. In this case, it amounts to pennies for Enbridge. And so they're probably conjuring up how little it'll cost to just continue to try and trespass. And ultimately, you know, on our side of the coin here in Bad River, we got to think about that. There wasn't really a deterrent or a penalization for them profiting and profiteering on the backs of our river.
We've got a couple of minutes left in our time together. Tony, what happens next in the legal process? Enbridge is appealing. So what can we expect?
Certainly there will be appeals in the federal court system about Judge Conley's decision with the 3-year timeline, the ruling on trespass. In addition, there's a separate legal process involving the proposed reroute. So the state of Wisconsin and the federal government through the Army Corps of Engineers need to evaluate Enbridge's permits for crossing wetlands and waterways along the proposed reroute, and they need to complete environmental review. As I said, over the course of this time, Enbridge's submissions for its permit applications to cross those water bodies has been insufficient. Right now, those permits could not legally issue. In addition, we've called attention to the fact that the state's environmental review through its draft environmental impact statement is inadequate. Just one glaring example, that environmental review does not really quantify the harm caused by continuing to invest in fossil fuel infrastructure and the increased greenhouse gas emissions that will result if the project goes forward and Line 5 continues to operate past the 3-year deadline that the judge imposed. Those are costs to us and to future generations that really aren't quantifiable. But you know, if you do try to put a price on it, and we submitted information to the DNR as part of that process, we're talking about tens of billions of dollars in harm to future generations as a result of continuing to invest in fossil fuel infrastructure and creating situations where we're pumping more greenhouse gas into the atmosphere. So that's a whole set of environmental harms that we haven't really touched on yet this morning, but are part of the environmental review that needs to happen.
Tony, in our last 30 seconds together, what's your reaction to the fine? Around $5 million, is that enough? Is it appropriate?
You know, I agree with the chairman. It's not appropriate for a company like Enbridge. That's the cost of doing business, and it doesn't deter the illegal conduct, and it doesn't make up for the harm that Enbridge has caused the band in this instance. So it's not sufficient. I imagine that will also be part of the appeal moving forward.
I want to thank you both for joining us today. We will be keeping an eye on this case as it moves forward for certain. Mike Wiggins, chairman of the Bad River Band, and Tony Wilkin-Gibbert, director of Midwest Environmental Advocates. Appreciate you both. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.